There we go. Okay. Welcome to the song leading class.
Are we fine to kind of shut the store a little bit, or I can holler if you want.
If you get stuffy or anything, just yell or open it.
We can open it back up. So I had a question before this class here. If I'm going to be teaching how to lead songs, or if I'm going to be teaching how to teach how to lead songs. So we'll see how much difference there is. So I do kind of like to know who I'm talking to, and I see we have a few experts in here, so we'll be maybe asking for some of your tips along the way. If you have anything, any questions, any comments, corrections, just feel free anytime, all right? So, come on in. So how many of you have taught music at some level in a school or Bible school or some setting? Okay, how about song leading? How many of you that included in that is leading songs? Quite a few. Okay. So good, we'll have lots of good ideas. So one thing I thought, okay, song leading. So if we're talking about song leading, we're assuming a few things. We're assuming we kind of have a basic understanding of pitches, rhythms, you know, the scale, key signature, a few things like that. So we're not going to spend much time on, we're doing rhythms and so forth over there. So if that's the place you thought you were, then that's over there. But that's included a lot in this. So maybe we'll just touch on a few things in review before we get to leading songs, and maybe just a few tips for leading songs, and hopefully for teaching how to lead songs. Because one thing you'll find when you teach is that, at least I found, is that it's one thing to know how to do something, and it's an entirely different thing to be able to explain to however many students you have, you know, 15 different people with different ideas and distractions and likes and dislikes and so on, how to do something. And again, this is one of those things that a lot of people say, well, I'm certainly never going to need to know how to do this. All right. And I did warn Russell here. I might use him as a, were you one of those people? So some of us, you know, just for the simple fact you may teach someday, but some of us were never, ever under any circumstances ever going to teach. How many of us were like that? Okay, so not nearly everybody, but I was never planning to teach. There was no, yeah, so kind of got tricked into it, stuck for a while, so, and enjoyed it quite a bit. For the men, very likely you'll be asked to lead songs in front of a church in one way or another, and I know different churches do different things. Some, you know, you just stay seated and lead with your voice, and some would get up and beat time or whatever, all right? But there's some pretty basic things that kind of go across the board there. All right, so just a couple things here. I was going to have a few things written up here. As you can see, my stellar art kind of took up the whole board here. If you can appreciate the shadowing and some of the 3D, you know, things there. But since we have songbooks, let's just open up here. We all kind of have some examples right in our hands, for most of us. Are there any extras? You didn't get one, did you, Wendell? Oh, we got some. There we go. All right. So let's just open up to 14, or just don't open up at all, and it'll be there as well. Same song. So just a couple things really quickly here, just kind of background of what we're talking about. So what we see here in the song, Lift Your Glad Voices, all right, if you're going to be, sorry, I've got this frog in my throat, excuse me. If you're going to be leading songs, it's pretty important to know which set of notes you're going to be following, right? So, assuming you know how to follow notes. So the thing about music is there's really a couple of basic things, and then you can do pretty much anything. If you know pitches, right, the scale, the degrees, do to do, C to C, whatever you're doing, all right? And if you understand timing, well, then you can pick. Then you can work your way through any song, pretty well. All right. So right here we have. Anybody tell me here? A little class participation. Each one of these, where we have each one of these sets of lines and spaces where we have notes, is called a what?
Degree.
Okay. Each line or space is a degree, right? And so each set is a. Okay. So we have. Yep, staff. one of those things there. So, when we have the entire thing, we have the soprano, alto, tenor, bass, all representing on two of those guys. That is called the what? Grand staff. And in a song like this, where we have four verses, there's a long ways between, or the alto and the tenor stop and start, right? But it's actually how many degrees or how many notes fit in between those two lines. The bottom, there's only three, right? So it's not very far at all. And we're not going to do just a whole bunch of, you know, the rudiments of music stuff here, but just, oh. So one thing that is very, very important in song leading, at least for me as I was learning it, is the measure bars, all right? So you look at each one of those little lines that come down there. Now each one of the little lines, not the big fat lines necessarily. Vertical, right? Measure bars. So Lift Your Glad is a measure there between those little lines. If you keep going though, Lift Your Glad voices in Triumph on High, we have a big fat line, right? What's that called? Okay, breather bar, anything else? There's some various.
Phrase bar,
right? Whatever. Okay. Those can be in the places of measure bars, but this one is not, as you can see. Now, we'll get into this a little bit more, but 4-4 timing means there will be the equivalent of how many of what kind of notes in each measure. There will be four quarter notes to the equivalent thereof, right? And so this is where music is very mathematical, right? Timing and so on. Very mathematical. So if you can learn to do fractions really fast, right, going along, it's no problem. So if you can see there, high, we have a half note and a quarter note, three quarter, we know we're not at the end of a measure bar there. And so our beat patterns will all come in between those measure bars. A measure bar means a downbeat, and that's very important because if you get lost while you're leading songs, as long as you just kind of keep making motions, chances are nobody is going to notice. And you can just kind of, as long as you kind of feel the rhythm, and come down at a measure bar and keep going, right? So, okay, just some basic things about the timing. It is important, and we talked about the beats per measure. It's important to learn how to feel timing, and especially. So some people, it's just natural. They kind of just have this instinctive rhythm going on, all right? More or less. And I might be using rhythm and beat wrong. He's over there explaining rhythms and beats and the differences and stuff. So, but you aren't over there, so you don't know. All right, and especially one thing is in the compound timing, which we'll get into the different timings and so on. But the compound timing can be one of those really, I've seen good you know, people that can sing well, know music, can read notes, get up and lead a 6-8 song, and it's just wrong. It's not quite the down and the up. And one thing, and somebody can maybe explain this better to me and to the rest of us. But at least for me, and somebody was just telling me this, so that was interesting. Some people sort of start the, you know, we're starting up here, and one is right away, right? Your first beat, one, right? If you think about each beat being a change of direction, for me at least, it's much easier to feel. We have one, two, three, four, and so on. And so we can kind of get stuck on this strict thing of starting here on one, two, right? And we can kind of, and especially in compound timing, and that can be very, you can kind of lose the feeling of how that's flowing. Okay, first of, before we get to being the leader, we need to learn how to be good followers, all right? Most of us like to just get up and go, yeah. That's why we have all these, you know, all these people anymore graduating out of college. As long as you can put manager in their title, it doesn't matter what they're doing, okay? And that's actually very true in the corporate world. It's just somebody was just telling me this. They'll go through these managers really quickly, like, because they're starting to get paid too much, right? They'd be worth too much pretty soon for what they're doing. And so they give them this manager position of some low-level something and get them in there, and then they just kind of rotate them through out of college and have, you know, or low-wage managers. So so we got to learn how to be good followers. And he told me, on your business card, never put what you are. Just that way you can do anything. Anyway. And here are some, and once you learn how to be a good follower, you can be a more effective leader. That goes across a lot of things, including teaching, perhaps, just as a general principle. A leader cannot really lead well if there's no one to lead, or if no one is following, right? Or if they're not followable. Here's some things as you are being the follower, letting somebody lead, to watch, okay? Now, this is something to keep in mind for the leader, is that we need to be consistent, okay? So if we're watching somebody that's not consistent, it's pretty difficult to follow. And so if your hand-mouth coordination is not very good, all right, it's going to be difficult to follow, and you're not quite sure where to go. But as a good follower, you should be watching their mouth, hand, body language, paying attention to that, because a good leader will vary sometimes. You will sometimes go a little faster or slower or louder or softer and so on, and that should be expressed in various ways, body language, whatever. And listen. Some people do merely lead with their voices. And some good song leaders that I've seen, they have a very good sense of timing and so on. Just get up front and sing a song. But generally, if you're watching them, so you listen, but generally if you're watching them, something's moving a little bit, right? Their book's moving. There's those small things you look for, and they're probably pretty consistent because they're not busy waving their arm and trying to get, you know, it's just keeping the timing there. So here's some things that John Wesley had to say. And by the way, I pulled some of this stuff from a music book that CLE sells, Michael Overhaul, I think. Yeah, pull a few things from there. Here's some things that I found interesting. John Wesley had to say about congregational singing. All right. He says, sing all. Sing that you see that you join with a congregation as frequently as you can. Let not a slight degree of weakness or weariness hinder you. If it be a cross to you, take it up, and you will find it a blessing. Sing lustily and of a good courage. Beware of singing as if you are half dead or half asleep, and certainly if you're the leader. Right? But lift up your voice with strength. Be no more, this is a good point, be no more afraid of your voice now, or more ashamed of it being heard than when you sang the songs of Satan. Sing modestly. Do not bawl, so as to be heard above the above or distinct from the rest of the congregation, that you may not destroy the harmony, but strive to unite your voices together so as to make one clear, melodious sound. All right? And so sometimes, as we're being the follower, we would like to be the leader. All right? And but that job's not available at the time. It might be later. And so just blend in with the people around you. Not that you shouldn't sing joyfully or loud, you know, add some volume. That's good. But blend in. Sing in time. Whatever time is sung, be sure to keep with it. And here again, the bawling can sometimes, you know, make that kind of swing a bit. Do not run before nor stay behind it. And this is assuming there's nobody in front, really. This is, but attend close to the leading voices and move therewith as exactly as you can, and take care not to sing too slowly. Above all, sing spiritually. Have an eye to God in every word you sing. Aim at pleasing Him more than yourself or any other creature. In order to do this, attend strictly to the sense of what you sing, and see that your heart is not carried away with the sound, but offered to God continually. And we can kind of get carried away with our own sound sometimes. Right? So shall your singing be such as the Lord will approve of here and reward you when He cometh in the clouds of heaven. And one man, who by the way has a very nice sound, and very much enjoys singing, has said that he has come to the place, in a church service especially, but in any time he is listening to hymns, godly music, which is what he should be listening to, generally. But he said at the end of every song, he should be able to give a heartfelt amen to the end of the song. So that means you would be, you know, he's paying attention in the spirit and the mood of the song. Now, being the song leader, and especially if you're the song leader in a church service, or you're teaching somebody how to be a song leader in a church service, okay, keep in mind that this is more than a physical and mental exercise. It should be a spiritual exercise. And while you are picking your songs, which is a very, very important part of leading songs, all right, whether it's in a classroom setting, a church setting, any sort of setting there, picking the songs is very important. And you should pray about that, and you should spend some time in quiet meditation. You should pick meaningful songs, songs that are pertinent to the time or occasion or whatever. Leading songs should never be done in a way to lift up yourself. Taking selections can be a good test of that. I think I was probably an entire year before I took selections from a congregation. I had a pretty narrow window of what I picked when I started. And maybe it was more pride than anything. There's a side of things, though, as you're preparing, that it does not need to be a matter of pride to know how to do what you're doing very well. And you should, in fact, practice the entire song. You should know what the song says. You should know any tricky parts in the timing or anything. You should be prepared, or else it can become a distraction for you and everybody else. potentially. Remember that success is not perfection, but connection, more so in this case. To connect to God and connect with the congregation, with your students, whoever it happens to be. As you are, and this can be tips for yourself or tips for as you're teaching students, but, and this again is besides just the physical part of song leading. But picking the songs, like I said, is a very important part of song leading. And so by topic or by style. You should probably not, we did one once upon a time, have a church chorister that led pretty much 100% of the 2-line, 4-to-6-verse songs. Okay? And those can get kind of, you know, it's like one person said, you know, mashed potatoes are really good. But if you have mashed potatoes kind of as your appetizer and as your main course and as your dessert, mashed potatoes get old after a while. So keep that in mind. Have a variety of styles. There's prayers, hymns, testimonial songs, faster paced, slower paced, lots of verses, choruses, right? Keep that in mind. Song lists. Probably one of the more distracting song lists is on your hand, believe it or not. You probably won't lose it unless you like OCD and wash your hands all the time. But it's probably one of the more distracting ones. You get up front and let's turn to number, you know, like so. Probably a paper in the book or mentally is probably the least distracting. Here and some more tips about song leading, especially in a congregational setting, which hopefully some of your students will be doing someday, is that not nearly every song needs an introduction. Yeah. If you do, keep it short, much shorter than the song, in general. I mean, there's a time for song histories and so on. Probably generally not the first song Sunday morning. You do not need to tell everyone what the song says, because a song will actually tell everyone what the song says. And if you don't have anything in particular to say about the song, then feel free to not say it. Okay? There's a time for testimony, a time for something meaningful in the song. All right? But generally, singing is most enjoyable while singing. Now, here's some points about song leading. Okay, and this is especially where I would try to convey to my students these points, and we would practice these points. And it was one of their most favorite times of the year. Do I hear amen? All right, so here's some points that we would, a couple very important parts of teaching song leading is demonstration and participation. All right, demonstrate everything. All right, try to, and then have everybody participate in it. And it can be kind of embarrassing for yourself and for them, but you're probably better off if you get embarrassed at least once a day most of your life. Be a better person for it. So. Here's some things. As you're going to the front, assuming that you're leading songs in front of people, beating time and so on, okay, you should walk up there with purpose, all right? You should not practice your good slink to the front, okay? And when you get up front, you should stand with purpose, all right? And again, this is for all of singing, you shouldn't slouch and you shouldn't be like, you know, standing at attention. Either like you know, you should be comfortably erect, and have a purpose. You should speak into the mic. You should not sing into the mic. You should speak into the mic, and you should step aside, or perhaps get the pitch and then step aside, because you should sound the starting note loud enough that everybody hears it. Whether you use a pitch pipe or whether you like to donk your head with one of those tuning forks or whatever. Start the song strong enough. All right, so it just kind of tickled my funny bone. It wasn't nothing. Very, very nice fellow. A good song leader, in fact. Good music. But the first time I watched this one person in particular lead songs, a real energetic guy, not at all lacking for volume, okay? So he gets up front like this. You know, everything's perfect. Just, you know, textbook talks into the mic. We get our starting pitch. Oh, lift your eyes. And you couldn't even hear him start the song hardly. And it went from in the next verse, and it looked like something should be happening. The mouth was open. Yeah. The timing was going, and every time between verses, even it was kind of this odd thing. So make sure you start the song loud enough as well, and be clear. One thing that's helpful is to use a prep or a breath beat before the song, all right? So generally, leading songs, you would maybe start somewhere, shoulder, eye, level, up, right? And before your first beat, by the way, is the clearest if it's a downbeat, all right? That is whether technically it's a downbeat or not. It is the clearest if it's a downbeat. It is not so clear to start like on a pickup measure or something, to start down here and go up. All right. So if we're going to start all songs about here and give a bit of a boy, tremors, wouldn't be a good surgeon. So think the heart's around here somewhere. So start about here, give a little prep beat. And the prep beat, by the way, should be in the time that you're going to sing. Okay? So a little breath, lift. Alright? Now, if we do it too fast, right? If we go lift, that's confusing. Or too slow. Lift, right? So we should be doing that prep beat, that breath beat, that is a good indication to the audience of the timing of the song. So they'll be able to start right with you and the timing that you want. Lift your... All right, so you should lead, okay? Once you are up front in a leadership position, lead, okay? Do not reflect as much as possible. However, don't become a distraction. There's a point, some congregations just have a real problem with good following. Okay? Some groups of people. Now, if you're in a situation where you're in front of your students, all right, who would stop everything, watch me, right? But in a church service, that'd be very distracting. There are times to make comments and so on. But if we teach our students all that, someday the churches will be a little better at that. One thing, along with being a distraction, Sunday morning is probably not the best time to, you know, kind of trick people to see if they're watching you. So, kind of alternate bird's eyes and so on. Go ahead and let everybody know what you have planned. And that's part of your preparation ahead of time to know what you have planned. Unless you're taking selections, of course. And then just a quick glance over, a lot of times you can tell. Unless it's a song you don't know. Yeah, even then you might. At the end of the song, clearly draw out the end and come to a conclusion. Cut it off. Do not beat out the last note. So, for example, at the end of this song, Lift Your Glad Voices, of death and the grave. That's not really a, you know, so, of death and the grave. And that gives you the time, however long you think is necessary, but be clear with your cutoff. Close of the fingers, even just motion more than anything, probably. Of grave, you don't even really need to close anything. Have kind of a defining time, but closing your fingers is good. But what ends up happening, especially as we're learning this, and as we're teaching it to our students, and sometimes us, we're kind of uncomfortable with that last, okay, now what are we doing? Up here, and then we're going to close that thing off, right? And so how do we, that. And so we end up kind of just being embarrassed about it, and we just kind of, right? And all sorts of things. And just don't be embarrassed about it. Try to convey to your students, it's just that last note, we just draw it out, one smooth motion, and cut it off. And that will practice. But beginnings and endings of songs are very important. One thing, as you are leading songs or as you are teaching how to lead songs, there are more than this technically. But for practical purposes, there are really only three different beat patterns. So that kind of simplifies some things. We know that when we look at a song, it's going to be a 2-point, 3-point, or 4-point. Duple, triple, quadruple, right? There are, I was just talking to Paul over there, and he's explaining to me, which is true. Hey, so, basically, okay, get the cart before the horse, though. Let's just talk about these just a touch here. So, this is a basic banana with the top cut off. This is a 2-point pattern, more or less. Now, a 2-point pattern strictly is down and up, all right? But that has no flow and no real clarity, all right? And so generally we put a little tail on it and we go down and up, all right? And so this would be our 2-point pattern, obviously 1, 2. And when you come to a simple time song, you will notice simple but has a 2, 3, or 4, right? So this would be 2, right? If it matches the amount of beat. All right, this would be your 3-point pattern. If there's a 3 at the top of your time signature, there will be 3 beats per measure. And of course, if you have a 4 on the top. All right, so this can be 3-4. It can be, well, okay, so like a 2, for example. We have 2-2, 2-4. There's 2 all kinds of things. Your most just kind of common run-of-the-mill 2-2-2-4-3-4-4-4 and so on, but there's more than that, of course. The bottom number, by the way, which we're not talking a lot about here, represents what?
Note value.
So, in other words, if we have a 2-4, that means there will be the equivalent, at least, of 2 quarter notes in every measure, right? Now, compound timing is a little bit different. So, compound timing, can anybody explain compound really well and clearly and precisely and definitively? Brian, you're stroking your non-existent beard. What are you?
No, I'll just let you. I'm happy to listen.
Oh, bummers. Basically, though, there's all sorts of, you know, we can talk about, it's kind of like, you know, triplets and so on, you know, each beat being one. But basically, compound timing is taking
three little notes and make three little beats and making it a big beat, right? So for example, if we have a six, let's say we have like a 6/8 time, which we're going to look at after a little bit, there will be at least the equivalent of 6/8 notes in every measure bar. But since we don't want to beat six, especially at the time that the song is going to be sung, and here's what Paul's explaining to me, a 6-beat pattern. So any of you know how to beat a 6-beat pattern? And he was theorizing that there'd be a better way, but I haven't done much theorizing with six myself, but okay. Something like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, I think. But anyway, that's pretty slow for these songs, and we'll see that in a little bit. But he was saying, some, especially maybe like a 6-4 song or something, sometimes you can slow it down a bit. Anyways, but there will be three, so in each one of these beats, there will be 3/8 notes, or the equivalent of, okay? And so we will divide, in compound timing, you divide by 3 to get the amount of big beats per measure, right? And so in your 3-point compound, then, that means, what's going to be a 3-point pattern if it's compound? What number is going to be on top?
9.
9, right? 9 and 12 here, okay? And that's your basic. Now, in your patterns, what's important to be, and this is important to kind of be able to feel, is your primary accents, all right, and your secondary or your unaccented. So 2/2, it's pretty basic. It's 1/2, 1/2. Your accents on the downbeat. Accent is always, well, generally speaking, always, with those exceptions, you know. But your accent is going to be on your downbeat. That's your primary accent, primarily. Your 3-point, it's going to be 1, 2, 3. All right, so accent and non-accent. Okay, so in your 4, you will have a secondary accent as your 3rd beat. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1. So you still have the primary on your downbeat, but it's important to feel that secondary beat on the 3rd beat there. Every other. A couple things we'll cover here yet before we get to the fun part. Is it getting warm in here? Stuffy? Okay. Must be. I guess there's just plenty of hot air up here. Huh? Okay, now there are some variations to a lot of things, right? So generally, like in number 14 here, most verses at least will start with a down beat, and it works out beautifully. Lift your glad voice, right? So works out beautifully. However, verse 2 does not, all right? So what's up with verse 2 there? How are we gonna start that out? Any bright ideas there? That is does anybody know what that's called? This little measure here, that he burst, that measure is called a what? A pickup measure, right? It's picking up into the, you know, somewhere, verse. So that would technically be what beat? A down, in, out, up. Up, right? It would be your last beat of the imaginary measure there in front. Right? So it would technically be up. So, and some people lead this way, and it's not like a crime, right? So, he bursts from starting down here. It is clearer to start up here, right? And so, and with a downbeat. And so what we kind of can do is make this hybrid beat, right, to where we're ready for the downbeat again. And so it's just kind of a down and up, right? And then we're ready for our downbeat. Does that make sense? Or does anybody have a better way of doing it or explaining it?
One thing I might think about is with that pickup measure, you might rob one beat from the final note on verse 1.
That's true.
And you just go, just
go straight straight in. Yes, exactly. So if you are in a situation in a song where you want to just go from verse to verse, yes, you would keep your upbeat because you would keep upbeat. Yeah.
That often works out, but in this song I was noticing that pickup doesn't actually technically finish out the last measure.
No,
yeah,
it doesn't technically.
Normally it does.
Yeah, you
wrong.
Yeah, you have to. Yep. Yep. But yeah, generally, a lot of times, it does. They write it so that
right,
it would. Which I mean, they could have.
This is a grace note pickup.
That's right. You're right.
Which means you're allowed to kind of.
You're allowed to have grace and so forth. They had to write songs with all grace notes, huh? Be easy. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Okay, anything else? And anything else? I've just been up here kind of monologuing.
Pickup beats, and if you use your body to emphasize the pickup beat and then start with the canon work.
Yeah.
You bend your knees and kind of pop up for the pickup beat and then you start with the
canon. And then everybody wonders. That guy just went like, at least Pentecostal, or not? Maybe. No. Yeah, no. But body language is important. Absolutely. Yeah. Now, one thing to be aware of, there's probably differences of opinion. One thing to be aware of in congregational, especially, is maybe how much you do move your entire body. You probably, I mean, it's mostly exercise from elbow out, but your whole body, you know, you probably don't want to be bending your knees a lot, but you know, the exceptions. So one thing too, my tendency is just to get my whole body involved, and especially say in a more of a chorus setting, and this can be with your students or teaching them how to lead a group of people, I never was really critiqued all that much on my techniques until one time. But and my tendency, I never really thought of it that much, is to kind of you know, start heading into this thing and get kind of all excited, and really good posture is generally a better way to go than kind of hunched back and really, you know, going for it. There have been very good directors and so on that have done that. Got very nice results, as well as a few laughs here and there. But as a general rule, most of your motion is with your arms. And another thing, as you're leading, one thing you can kind of think of, maybe a little bit of a box from, you know, middle of your body, you know, eyes, and about out that far, is generally about where you want to stay. You don't want it too small or too big. You want it easy to follow. Okay. Getting the pitch. Now, if we all knew our degrees very well, we would not have to come up with funny little fat boys and so on. But probably if you see a song leader in front of the church, he's talking about fat boys right up there in front. and or else going down for breakfast. Oh, something about food and these things. But, and there's different, you know, more sanctified versions, but it was always easiest for me to remember that fat boys eat apple dumplings greedily. And there's just some, you know, there's reasons for why all of this is, and that's good to know at some point. All right, but for the sake of time and for what we're talking about here, you don't really actually have to know all of that to do this. It's good to know, though. And all of the flats, when you see a flat, right, so let's just look here. If you're open up to 14, which probably not, but 12 there has two flats, right? So if you go down your little fat boys exercise, right, fat boys will be at B. And when we're talking about flats, they all are flatted except which one?
F.
So B flat is where do is going to be. And then the question is, we're starting on so, all right? So, which direction are we hitting?
Yeah.
Right? And sometimes people get that confused in front of in your entire octave off. And it will become painful very soon. Right? So, some of that's just kind of common sense and practice. Now, what one person did is see a pitch pipe actually on the silver side. This doesn't work if you use a tuning fork, but then you probably know more than this if you're using that. Has a staff running around, five lines and four spaces, right? And so you can get within a half note of every song at the beginning pitch, right? But it's not necessarily flowing down to the so, you're starting on so, which can be kind of confusing, actually. We can have these things in our minds. All right? On the sharps then, 14 again, go down and eat breakfast first or whatever one you want to, but memorize something or else know your degree is excellent, right? And so this will be go down and eat, right? So this will be E. And the only, and again, there's reasons for this, but we don't have to know that now. This will be E or E sharp?
E.
Because E sharp, by the way, is not existent, but that'd be F. But it is E, and so in the sharps, they all are just the letter by themselves except
F.
So F is your exception. All right, so remember that. There's just some little things to remember. And then if there are no sharps, no flats,
C.
All right, and it's just kind of your common. And C, by the way, is just kind of a neat little guy. Middle C, which is the only line that would come between your treble and your bass clefs there. In the middle of the grand staff, middle C is considered to be the center of the human range. All right, so everybody, practically everybody can hit middle C, right? So let's see here. Men. Ladies. Oh, men, keep going. So it's kind of right in there, kind of getting lower side alto. It's just kind of, right in there. Right in the center. And then, this has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. Okay. But as far as, it kind of does, because degrees, if you're learning degrees, like where the letters fit in, there's some neat little tricks as far as if you go, there's more, faces and everything like that to learn. But one thing, if you can keep track of C, you can figure everything out at some point, even if you forget face and the cows eating grass or whatever they're doing. All right, so C is in the middle, right? Middle C. And then C is going to be your third space up and your third space down. Anyway, for whatever that's worth. It's kind of handy for me. But all right. Again, as a music teacher, teaching your students music, or how to lead songs specifically, demonstration and participation are very, very important. You should practice in class and then should practice in front of class, all right? Which still, most of them will be delighted to do. And then what I've done in the past and get everybody involved and keep everybody's attention the whole time, sort of, that was the idea, but is that I have the, and it's a lot of work for me, but have the students grade each one of the students. And I'd grade them as well on some basic points and assign them a certain number of points. It's up to you, and certain things that you think are important. And it can be weighted, like your entrance, your poise, your starting the song, your leading through the song, song ending, whatever points you think are important, assign them a certain amount of points that would equal 100. I mean, you could have five different things, 20, 20, 20, 20, right? And they could keep track. And make sure they understand that like a 16 would actually be like an 80%. Because, that's not bad with 14, right? Well, that's pretty bad, right? So make sure they understand that ahead of time. And it's very interesting. Most times, I would keep track the same way. Most times, you have the ones that grade hard, the ones that grade easy. Most times, the students collectively were about within 2 points of my own personal keeping track. It's interesting exercise. And everybody has to get up front and do it. And give a chance for critiquing, gentle critiquing, and a second chance. We should be building confidence, not fear, in this. And give them all a chance, in private sometime, to do it in front of you or, you know, whatever, their friends, ahead of time. Let them practice, because they should be practicing ahead of time. That's good. All right, now a couple songs. And we'll maybe kind of go over a little bit how I would at least start out with some of this. And probably some of you have some better ideas. But turn to 33 in the songbooks. Nope, wrong one. Right one. I was looking wrong. Okay, Jesus Loves Me, very basic song. 2/4, so there will be the equivalent of what in every measure? Two quarter notes. Now, this has instead four eighth notes, right? Starting out here and pretty much through the whole, most of the song, right? But since we know our fractions like that, we know that 2/8 equal a quarter, right? And so 4/8 is the same as 2/4. So we will blow what pitch? E flat. And go up or down to so. Up, right? All right. And so maybe I'd do this and we'd all sing and I would demonstrate. All right, so let's sing.
Jesus loves.
Oh yeah, now I'm beating quarters. I was too busy messing around. Oh, beating eight.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong.
Okay, and we'll just hold up right there, and what we'll do now is have everybody that has room to move your arm, all right? And we'll all, and you can stand up or sit down, whatever you prefer. All right, and what we're going to do is we're going to start this out like this. We're going to start the hands about eye level, between shoulder and eye level, all right? Hands between shoulder and eye level, standing up straight or sitting down straight. All right, and we'll do a little prep beat ahead of time, and then we'll go and end. And we'll keep it kind of slow because we're learning, right?
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so.
Down.
Little ones to
down.
Him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me.
Now, you can sit down for a little bit if you want. All right, so you kind of start out slow and go through the different. At some point, you should go through probably, you know, the simple ones, the 2, 3, 4, and then move on to compound ones. All right, now most of us probably know more than most groups of students. All right, so let's look at. And by the way, some familiar songs, especially Christmas songs, can get us. All right? If we're up front taking selections, we're thinking, yeah, we are out of this song. So let's look at 320. So this song is 12/8. So we will have how many of what in each measure? It'll be 12 eighth notes, right? But we will beat how many beats per measure?
Four.
Because we don't even want to think about a 12 beat pattern. Keeping up, that'll be difficult. Yeah, so, Now, this has a what at the beginning?
Pickup.
A pickup measure. How many eighth notes are in here? Okay, first of all, how many eighth notes are going to be in one beat?
Four.
This compound. Compound.
Three.
Yeah. Okay. Right? Because we, generally, yes, there will be four beats. You guys are confusing. Three little beats make one big beat in compound, right? But we have four eighth notes to start out here. So this is like an extended pickup measure, right? So don't get confused and start, you know, that can be kind of a confusing thing. But basically, it's just that, it's an extended pickup measure. It's just a touch longer than one beat, and we don't really have to labor over this, all right? It's just, oh, beautiful star, and then we're good to go. Now, keep in mind, this is compound, right? And so, feeling compound, and probably 6-8, actually, as easy as 6-8 is one of the harder ones to feel. Generally, 4-point patterns are some of the easiest ones to feel, especially 4-4, okay? It's the most movement, but it's probably easiest to feel. But let's go ahead, and you can all help me beat this here. So I will blow what? And go to down to so. Oh, oh. So we're gonna start up here. You can stand or sit, doesn't matter. And we're gonna do a prep beat and then an elongated up beat, right?
Oh, oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shining afar through shadows dim, giving a light for those who long have gone, and guiding the wise men on their way unto the place where Jesus lay. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on.
You may sit down. Because in fact, we don't want to just hold out the last soprano note. Because the rest of the parts are still singing. Right? Where are we at? Yeah. Because in that last... I was so busy watching everybody. Okay, the alto and tenor are still singing there, so we will hold their last note, not the soprano. So you want to be aware of that to keep beating for the part so they know what they're doing, right? So what I would, just kind of to wrap up really quickly here, what I would, for teaching song leading to your students, I would teach them those basic things about how we go up front, our poise, and some things like eye contact. All right, we should be holding our books, you know, comfortably up here to where we can make as much, not like, you know, a beautiful start, right? So that gets a little creepy, but just as far as connecting with the people, all right? Looking joyful, you know, that can be one thing. Gray is how you look and so on. Come up speaking into the mic, getting your pitch, stepping aside, and leading. Some of those things, how you close, how you demonstrate those things for them, and then have class participation in everything besides just beating time. All right, and it'll be good for them whether they ever use it or not. And actually, a lot more of them will use it sometime in their life than what they think. Chances are, at least. So any questions or any comments? Any good advice that I didn't hit?
You were talking about beating and how important it is for you to stay in the same line, but back to something that Lloyd Kaufman said. He said when you're singing a song, I'm assuming this goes for directing too,
still have notes to see, you probably not seen.
Good point. Yeah. Good point.
Very subtle.
Yeah. Yeah. He can come up with some real good ones. One time I said, Lloyd, is there something I should be, you know, really working on here, you know, doing? He said, just sing your notes. Sing on pitch. Yeah. Okay. So, okay, well, thank you all very much. And you are dismissed.